I just want to just finish it and to have proper mood.
Welcome back, guys. Joined again with Lyosha today. We had some comments about my Makaroni Poflotsky video that said that it wasn't struggle enough. And I agree. During the Soviet Union, Makaroni Poflotsky was a normal dish. But there are some sort of post-Soviet dishes that really are struggle foods. And that's what we're going to explore today.
Yes, what really people need from food when they are poor. First, you need calories to get energy from food. And that's why some of sorts of this food we try today are so cheap and so simple. And it, for sure, it's not a healthy food, but it the goal is to give calories to people.
Today we're going to explore some of the weirder actual struggle foods. But I think that we're going to start because you need sort of two things to get through some of these foods. One is hunger, so we're both adequately hungry, so check. But next, we're going to just wet our whistle a little bit with, so these are from the tincture videos, but this is one that wasn't included in the tincture because this is distilled. So this is samohon. So this is Ukrainian moonshine, but made by a mass producer. So it's probably pretty far from authentic, but we're gonna get this video started off right. In true struggle fashion, so
and with proper mood. No, it smells
I don't
not
smell
so bad.
Anything. Yeah,
it smells like regular vodka, not like samohon.
Yeah, so I think that this is more for a gimmicky label. This is just vodka. So we're gonna cheers.
Cheers for a good video today.
Yeah. If you guys are struggling at home, we hope that this helps you to some degree. And if you're not struggling, then just enjoy us embarrassing ourselves. So, cheers. That's 100% just vodka.
Yeah, for sure. But it's fine. It's okay. Because, like, if it would be moonshine, it would be harder.
So, the first dish that we're going to talk about, I sort of put this together as sort of a chaos menu, if you will. And instead of chaos being a disconnected menu theme, the theme is actual chaos, just because that's what sort of the struggle is. And so this is a dish that there's a Czech analogous dish, topinka, where you take garlic and old bread. It can be toasted. The Czechs fry it, but I think here you just...
Yes, for sure. I'm not Czech, I'm Ukrainian, but through all my childhood, I was trying eating this. And I think it's very fine for beer, for example. And anyway, it's like cool snack, tasty. It's like I was even talking that maybe it's not really a struggle food because it's tasty. It's fine, my own opinion.
Mm-hmm. So what you do is you have toasted or fried bread and a piece of garlic, and you literally grate it against the bread. And it acts as a grater. It grinds down the garlic and it leaves a paste into the bread. So you're making on-the-fly garlic bread. I tried this in the Czech Republic and it's been one of the dishes that was suggested here. I didn't know that people ate this, but it's actually quite good.
And you also do it on the both sides for sure. To leave more garlic on your piece of bread. You know, really, for better, for stronger taste.
You literally just grind it down into the bread. The Czechs, again, they would fry this in pork fat, but we're going to switch that up by adding some salo to this. So, cheers to the appetizer. Woo!
It's really fun. Mm-hmm. For sure, it's not struggle food. It's like normal tasting.
It tastes good, but I would say that this is a struggle food. Some raw pork fat, or salo, if you've seen my salo video.
Or you can also grind it, salo on this piece of bread. Yeah, first garlic, then salo. Or you just can put a piece of salo on the bread. Bellissimo.
With the salo, it mellows out the garlic a lot, because it's very punchy, obviously. But this is delicious.
So for the start, we started a video about struggle food and the first dish is very nice.
I don't know if people at home would call rubbing raw garlic into stale bread and then putting raw pork fat on it not a struggle dish, but it is actually delicious.
Yes.
It's pretty tasty. So That's, does this have a name in Ukrainian? What do you guys call this?
Maybe it is, but I don't know it.
So we started on a positive note. It may look weird, but and it is, but it's actually quite good. So maybe give that a try. It has to be dark bread. You need something that can hold up to the sort of the grating, and then also add a stronger flavor to the garlic, because otherwise the garlic would override everything. But really good. Great start. Now we're moving on to something that I was surprised to see. I worked with Ukrainian developers and things like that, and they would bring this dish in as lunch from home, and it's literally noodles with ketchup.
Yes, but you have to understand that, for example, in Soviet Union, we hadn't got actual ketchup. There was like tomato paste, pasta, but like no actual ketchup. And when in 1990s ketchup appeared in our stores, it was like something exclusive, almost exclusive product, yes. And that's why when I was a kid and first try not noodles without anything, and then you add ketchup, it really tastes almost delicious. Like it's normal, it's interesting. Like because actually ketchup was something special for the time.
These are all real recipes. So this one was pulled from a Soviet cookbook, and it says tomato puree. So ketchup is actually a tremendous upgrade on this dish because there's no salt, there's no acidity or other than just what's in the tomato. So this is an upgraded elite version of it. But I think that more Americans and English speakers would have ketchup at home than tomato puree. So it's just this pasta, and then it's cooled a bit, but you literally just mix ketchup in. So this is ketchup straight from the package. I added a little bit of green here just to zhuzh it up a bit. But this is a dish that people still eat today. I think it might be more connected with, you know, childhood memories and things like that, but...
And usually people, when eating it, it looks like really just red noodles, nothing more, because it's like mixed very good, and that's how they eat it. Like Matthew will show you.
So I feel sort of like the lunch lady in the Chris Farley SNL sketches.
Hoagies and grinders, navy beans, meatloaf sandwich, sloppy joe.
It sounds like a sloppy joe, and it looks ridiculous, but... It is an actual dish here. Give me the herbs.
Herbs, це даже слишком хорошо.
So, yeah, some herbs. Going to add that in there as well. And we're just going to dump this in here because mixing it on this tiny little plate is, whoops, filling his lap with this. So it is just ketchup, noodles, herbs, and that's it. And didn't you say that you thought that this was a foreign dish? You thought that this
I thought it's a foreign dish because like ketchup is already a foreign thing for sure. That's for sure. When I tried it first, like it was very good in my childhood comparing to just noodles with nothing. When noodles are gray and they don't have any powerful taste, you know, when adding ketchup, it's like, it's delicious. For sure, I thought it's like something foreign. It was something American for me, not just foreign. Just
So it's good that it's American, so that there aren't any furious Italians who are going to comment on this. I have seen this dish a bunch. It's quite popular. I've always sort of mocked it, and it smells so much like ketchup. I can't think of anything else. But we're going to give this a try. So literally noodles with ketchup. A struggle dish.
It's literally the taste of my childhood. Mom, please, can I not go to school tomorrow? That's like my childhood. But like, it's not awful. Agree?
It's so weird. Because ketchup is so sweet. And Ukrainian ketchup is even sweeter. So this is like a sweetness to it, and it's lacking a little bit of depth of flavor, but it's if you have nothing else, I guess that this is okay. I'm very sorry any Italians that are watching or pasta aficionados, but yeah, this is an incredibly popular dish and people still eat it today. It can be different types of pasta, but super common. Struggle dish number two down, that is noodles with ketchup. God, the garlic with bread is so good. Okay, so as we continue through the chaos menu, we have the buckwheat or grechka with milk.
Yes, I used to eat it in my childhood also quite often, and personally I don't like the noodles with ketchup, but I for sure I like grechka with milk. It's like it tastes almost delicious for me.
I in general don't like buckwheat. Yeah. It's definitely an acquired taste. I have a video on buckwheat. To me, it tastes like wet wood, but Eastern Europeans adore it. They eat it all throughout their childhood. It's sort of like oatmeal for us, but buckwheat with milk. So you just take a little bit of salt.
There are a few different recipes because, like, personally, I was eating like only grechka and only buckwheat and milk and nothing more. No salt, no sugar, nothing. And it was like typical food for me in my childhood.
It's also worth mentioning that this milk mixture is used with noodles. It's used with pasta, rice even. So they would put milk with grains of all kinds.
And the people literally call it milk soup.
How about your favorite food? What would that be?
Oh, milk steak.
What?
When they add noodles or rice, for me, noodles and rice are disgusting. But buckwheat is okay. It's like normal food for dinner, for breakfast. Yeah, add more milk.
More?
Oh.
Does this look accurate to you?
Yes, it looks nice, like my food in my childhood.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, when he said that it's the taste of my childhood, and he's talking about ketchup with noodles, it's... Oh my god. Americans, we eat cereal, so this is similar to cereal. If anyone's eaten grape nuts, this might be like that, but it's cooked. So, I guess...
Let's start. It's nice.
It's actually way better than just buckwheat.
No, but it's totally different. Like, buckwheat is like one dish and this and it's something another. So it's like it's interesting. I will even try one more.
Yeah, the sort of woody, earthy flavor of the buckwheat is cut by the fat in the milk. And the milk has sort of a natural sweetness to it. So this is not bad. It feels like an incredibly health-conscious breakfast cereal.
Yes.
So, I don't mind it. Like, once the milk sort of leaves and you're just chewing buckwheat, it kind of gets worse, but not bad. It's a little weird. But yeah, this is milk soup, they call it. Now, there's an actual recipe that I found.
So, what is the rating? Like, from 1 to 10? For me, it's 7 or 8. It's, like, quite good food.
To me, like, the garlic bread... That's like a 9. Mm-hmm. The ketchup noodles is a 7. I would give this a 6.
Uh-huh. And for me, it's opposite. Like, noodles with ketchup is like maybe 3 or 4. And this is like 7 to 8, maybe even almost 9. The mix is organic. Like, I mean, like, they like milk and buckwheat are good friends in food.
There are some recipes where they cook the milk down a little bit and it makes a thicker soup. There's some where they add butter, some where they add like grated cheese, some where they add sugar to make sort of a sweetened milk.
Some people eat it heated when it's warm, but personally, I like it cold. Like, totally cold from a fridge.
A lot of people will have either hot buckwheat and hot milk, or cold buckwheat with hot milk, so you can mix and match if you'd like. But it does taste sort of like a very health-conscious cereal. So the buckwheat holds up well to being wet. It's better than I thought it would be, because I don't like buckwheat in general. Some degree of progress. Hey! Another sort of struggle dish in this region would be birch sap drink. I don't know if it's got a name. Does this have a name, or is it Berezovicik?
Yes, Berezovicik is the birch juice, we call it.
Birch juice. So birch as the tree. They literally just tap the tree, you know, like you're getting syrup, but it's just the sap or whatever liquid is inside of a tree. As this. So we have clean, and then we have some mixed with wheat. So clean, pshnichnie. Jesus, bless me. We're going to try this. I've had some of this a few years ago, and I was confused by the taste of it. It tastes almost fermented. This is not alcoholic.
No, no, it's not alcoholic. Yes, it's juice. Literally juice.
It's just tree juice.
Tree juice.
So this is probably like the world's oldest recreational beverage or something. I don't know.
Some people will think that from every tree you can take it, but no, only from birch.
Yeah.
That's the only type of tree.
So. It's got like a milky smell to it or something?
Yes, because it's not totally fresh. When you just drink it like in a few minutes when it's come from the tree, it's like sweet and like almost like water. But now it's like fermented a bit or something like that because it has a bit of taste. It's normal drink. It's tasty.
It has like the feeling of like whey. So like the byproduct of making cheese, that sort of like semi dairy water. It's really interesting. I'll have a little bit more.
I want to. Again, we repeat that it is not alcoholic. We drink it not because it has alcohol. It's really tasty.
Yeah, it's not booze. Do kids drink this? Like who's
for sure? Why not?
Yeah, it's got an oddly dairy like hint to it.
And just imagine that you may be very poor and live in village and you haven't got any drink instead of water. You have only water or maybe this type of juice. So for sure it would be like quite entertaining for you. at least you have some choice what to drink.
Imagine living in a world before Coca-Cola and you've only had water your entire life. And then someone brings you a bottle of this. It's definitely going to change, like, wow, and incredible.
If you live in Soviet Union, probably you haven't got no coffee, no tea even, only water and maybe this.
Yeah, so tap a birch tree, get some juice from it.
Nice, I think. Ooh. It's with some...
Pšenichny.
Da, wheat, with some wheat. Nice.
So this definitely has a much more complicated flavor to it.
Than you thought.
And I don't know how they would get a wheat. Do they just maybe they soak wheat in this and then they filter it out because it's just a little bit cloudier. But this is the natural. But I think that it'd be interesting to do an entire video on this.
Sorry, I'm not sure that it's totally natural because totally natural. It's like it's like prosori.
Clear.
Totally clear, yes. And something is added in this one, I think. But it's not very strong taste, but something is in it.
Well, maybe they added a little bit of some milk product, because it definitely tastes some kind of dairy. Or maybe it's just sat around a little bit, so it's something's alive in there. So it's fermenting. I don't know, but you can only find this in markets. It's not sold in stores or shops.
No. Sometimes you can find it as sold in stores, but I'm not sure that it is really birch juice. Maybe it's like just imitation. Mm. But sometimes you can buy it in a jar, like 3-liter jar, and it's written like birch juice. But I'm not sure if it's really natural.
Very interesting thing. Definitely a struggle beverage, if there has ever been one. But very fascinating stuff. I would love to actually see how this is made.
I think, like, if you have a hangover, it would be like a nice drink.
Probably. I think that a hangover or maybe even just an upset stomach, it's got a very sort of soothing feel to it. Mm-hmm. Not like a medicine, but it does feel like it would calm an upset stomach.
Yeah.
So that part of the hangover plus the hydration, so that might help. We'll add that to the list of things to experiment with. So that's the birch juice down, a very fascinating beverage, probably something that you can't find or make. But and now we move on to an actual factual dish, and Lyosha was a little bit upset that I included this in the struggle food because this isn't a struggle food.
It's normal, traditional Ukrainian food, Ukrainian dish from like 500 years ago recipe, and that's why I argued that it is not a struggle food. It's not a dish of bad times, it's also a dish of normal times.
Yeah, and I can't imagine Ukraine 500 years ago struggling. This is a dish from the Cossacks, so this is something that could be made quite simply. It's got cheap ingredients, very few ingredients, and it can be made quickly. So the Cossacks on horseback, you could stop, set up camp, and in a single pot, boil this out. Kulish is a dish that has very few ingredients, and this was made by a recipe that I found in sort of an old book, an old Soviet cookbook. It gets fancier, so I would like to make an actual video on this, maybe where I cook this outside. But this is super basic. I used scraps of meat that I had frozen from when I butchered pork ribs. So just scrap meat. You can use almost any meat. It has carrots. This was added from the original recipe because everywhere that I looked online it had carrots, but in this recipe it didn't. It also has millet. So that, chinois? Mm-hmm. So yeah, just meat, onion, carrots, and then this millet. I added some garlic and bay and some sprinkle of some green herbs just to zhuzh it up a bit. But these are all ingredients that are typically in cabinets.
You just added it because you are rich and not struggling.
This also has a lot of pork fat, like rendered pork fat in it. So that's sort of how you cook the meat. So it's a very filling meal. And I think that this is fascinating. It smells awesome. So I'm going to give this a mix. There are some different consistencies of this dish. Sometimes it's more like a soup. Sometimes it's more like a porridge. This is closer to a porridge. And sort of as it sat here while we were filming, it's definitely dried out a bit.
I will use fork for this.
So Kulish.
Nice. You cooked it for sure properly because it's like tastes fine. I want to try one more. No, it's fine. Nothing to add. It's like almost like plov. It's the Ukrainian version of plov.
Ukrainian plov. That's exactly like as I was cooking it, the texture sort of this millet absorbs all of the water that's in it. It's sort of like plov. And it has the smell and the flavor of if you're American, chicken and dumplings. So like U.S. Southern style chicken and dumplings. So this is actually super good. As I was, like before I cooked it, I thought that this would be like, because it's, every ingredient in here is cheap. You can use the cheapest quality meat possible. But this is fantastic.
It's and yes, good. As for cheap and fast food, it's like really, really tasty dish.
It can be made in about 30 minutes. Total, so from nothing to finished is about 30 minutes. It's super filling, it's super healthy, I guess, except for sort of the high fat content. And it's pretty beautiful, like, given the cheap nature of the dish. So this is a struggle dish that is not Soviet, but Ukrainian. And incredibly easy to make, incredibly cheap, and really good. Do you have any memories of eating this as a kid?
No, I don't know why, but usually my mom wasn't cooking it, because that's why I was almost never eating it. But it tastes nice.
Yeah, so it's also worth noting that pshinaw is chicken feed. So typically they use this to feed animals or livestock. But I guess if you're struggling, you know.
Yes, it was so popular food for chickens that even like in Ukrainian tales, usually if there's some chicken personage, like I said, characters like chickens, they usually eat pshinaw because it's like typical for chicken to eat pshinaw.
So, yeah, an actual dish that can be made incredibly cheaply, incredibly quickly, very filling and beautiful. So I would say that that's my favorite of the day.
For sure.
But no struggle chaos menu would be complete without dessert.
I hope you forget about it.
This is one that has come up frequently. And some of the older people seem to think that this is great.
Yes, many of them, even on Facebook, when they comment, "Oh, in my childhood, I had such a nice dessert. Like, couldn't you do it now if it's so good? It's so easy and so disgusting for me personally."
For those of you watching, this isn't an illusion. This is just a plate with water in it. This is Does this have a name? Sadness?
No. I think it also doesn't have a name, but still people from all the regions of ex-Soviet Union remember that they were eating it when being children, including my parents.
So yeah, you take a stale piece of white bread, and you dip it into water until it's wet, and then you sprinkle sugar on it.
Yes. it's even, for me, it even sounds disgusting, like, already, but I am upset that I have to try it today.
I was sure that this was a prank, because you mentioned this before when we were in Kharkiv, but this is, I don't even know. So, well, let's explore together. Stale white bread.
Too much water. Like, only touch a bit. Yeah, so it will be wet, and sugar will stick to it.
So, yeah, just...
No, more sugar. You're like, you have to...
That's the glycerin.
Yeah, much more sugar. Like,
if you have so much sugar, you're already a rich capitalist pig. So.
So you take just... Maybe you'll take some smaller piece of bread, like, to have a proper recipe. No, you should add much more. The sugar should cover it totally, like...
Oh, like a thick layer.
Sometimes you even put it in water and it's any sugar to stick it, understand?
Uh-huh.
Like, so that's a lot of sugar on the top of bread.
Okay, so...
Especially if you're a rich capitalist pig. Let's try.
Yum. The Soviet struggle cake, I guess.
Yeah. I can't even explain why it's so disgusting for me. Like, it's also it's sugar and bread. What disgusting ingredients? Not disgusting ingredients at all. But together, I can't.
It's so weird. It is so weird. I can't even imagine a stoner or a drunk enjoying it. It's just so bizarre. It adds nothing. You just change the texture of bread a bit to make it wet, and then you add sugar to
it. And wet bread is. Unpleasant already, wet bread, and then sugar, wet bread and sugar that crustate, like crunches on your teeth, like, it's disgusting. But still people, still many people say it's like their favorite dessert. how tasty it was in my childhood. Oh.
So it wasn't as gross as I thought it would be, just because wet bread, the texture of wet bread is really bizarre. It feels sweet, but not incredibly sweet, because it's just sugar. So it's not an icing. It's weird. It's so weird.
Don't try it at home.
Or do. I don't care.
But if you try, maybe you will like communism. communism is good.
That's sort of the chaos menu around real Soviet struggle dishes. So these are all things that people, even today, still eat. One is an actual real dish. And then the other ones are just sort of things that kind of exist.
The other things are like pretend to be dish, but they are not, in fact. It's like when you don't have actual dish, you eat this.
Yeah. A lot of the struggle foods are sort of based around carbs and fat. So there's a lot of noodles, a lot of buckwheat, a lot of grains. And then they'll typically try and add a fat element. It can be from dairy. So there's a lot of sour cream.
Yes, as I mentioned in the beginning of the video, to get more calories. Like, it's the main thing. The main goal is to get calories. Nobody cares about vitamins or minerals or something like this. Yes, just calories.
We've eaten our way through calorie-rich, taste-minimal dishes. What was your favorite?
My favorite? I enjoyed kulish for sure, and I like buckwheat with milk for sure.
The kulish is a legitimate dish. I chose this as I was looking through a cookbook just because it had minimal ingredients and very cheap ones. But this is actually way better than I anticipated. So, fantastic dish. I'll probably make a video on that alone. But other than that, I didn't really enjoy anything else.
What's the first, bread with garlic?
Oh, yes. That was super good. Yeah. The bread with garlic is really awesome. I think with beer, it would be even better. Overall, a lot better than I thought it was. Everything that was used in this are incredibly cheap ingredients. So these are actual, real, legitimate struggle dishes from post-Soviet states. So these are all popular, all real, and still what people eat. That is the struggle foods video. Thank you guys very much for joining us. Thanks to Dosha again for helping me do some guerrilla research on these dishes as well. Let us know if you'd like to see a sort of a follow-up video, because there's just an ocean of these weird struggle dishes. So we'll probably make a second follow-up video if you guys are interested. But other than that, thank you guys very much, and until next time.
See you.
Now, I'm going to want the milk steak boiled over hard and a side of your finest jelly beans raw.